Good morning. This is Paul Donovan, Chief Economist at UBS Global Wealth Management. It's 7 o'clock in the morning London time on Wednesday, the 9th of September. China's inflation data for August was just slightly higher than had been expected. Notable primarily because deflation has been such a dominant issue in China of late. Some of this was simply due to less deflation. In the consumer price data, for instance, pork prices were still falling, but falling less than they did in July. The government signalled that some of the modest rise in inflation was due to the fact that some global commodity prices have been allowed to work their way through, particularly into producer prices. Overall, this is not giving any convincing signals about improving domestic demand, which has remained mediocre at best, and it seems more a reflection of the government cautiously allowing global forces to trickle into the domestic economy. Oil prices are continuing to increase, with the Brent crude oil future straining to breach $100 a barrel in the wake of increased military action between Iran and the United States and attacks on Saudi Arabian facilities by the Houthi. US gasoline and diesel prices remain at very high levels, and this is starting to attract media attention. That's relevant because the politics around domestic energy prices in the States will be a factor that may weigh on the decisions of how to prosecute the war. While it would be isolated cases and dependent on local taxation policies, some parts of the United States could conceivably reach $10 a gallon diesel. That would certainly heighten the political debate, but also raises a practical problem of whether US gasoline price signs are physically capable of showing double-digit prices. US President Trump's executive orders yesterday banning some Canadian goods from the States were focused on alcohol and motorcycles. This marks another escalation in the trade war, but one with subtly different implications from Trump's earlier policies of aggressive tariffs. Tariffs have tended to be passed through to the consumer quickly and completely. There is a direct impact to the US affordability crisis, therefore. However, a ban on imports simply means shortages in the first instance. In effect, Canadian goods cannot be bought, at least legally, at any price. The impact on the cost of living then depends on how other suppliers of goods respond. Do they take advantage of the absence of a Canadian competitor to increase prices, or do they keep prices unchanged under the assumption that Trump will retreat from this position before too long? A US company would not want to risk alienating consumers by raising prices if Canadian competitors return within a week, for instance. However, it's also worth considering that if supply is being halted, it is a rather double-edged sword. Canada briefly imposed a 25% tariff on its supply of power exports to the United States in 2025. If Canada responds to bans on some of its exports, it might feel that the most impactful response would be to ban or increase the price on exports to the United States that the United States cannot do without. US Treasury Secretary Bessent has dared financial markets to attack the yen, declaring, "I am the house now." The gambling metaphor may not be entirely appropriate, as it's hard to present the yen's earlier weakness as being the result of speculation. If it were speculation, then the intervention and Bessent's casino analogies would be useful. If, however, the yen's position were determined fundamentally, and the fundamentals are not changing, then this is an incorrect approach. Indeed, there are echoes of the UK's exchange rate mechanism crisis back in 1992, when defying economic fundamentals ultimately became impractical. It is perhaps a less catchy analogy and one that Bessent may not understand, but the problem is that Bessent's declaration could perhaps be, "I am Lamont now." That's all for today. Have a good day.
This material
has been prepared and published by the global wealth management business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland. Its subsidiaries, or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. In the USA, UBS Financial Services Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only, and it is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.